Tata. As far as.
As far as.
Appare.
Appare.
Others.
Others.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Atma samadhi.
Atma samadhi.
Transcendental self-realization.
Transcendental self-realization.
Yoga.
Yoga.
Means.
Means.
Balena.
Balena.
By the strength of.
By the strength of.
Jittava.
Jittava.
Conquering.
Conquering.
Prakitim.
Prakitim.
Acquired nature or modes of nature.
Acquired nature or modes of nature.
Palishtam.
Palishtam.
Very powerful.
Very powerful.
Tvam.
Tvam.
You.
You.
Eva.
Eva.
Only.
Only.
Dhiraha.
Dhiraha.
Pacified.
Pacified.
Purusham.
Purusham.
Person.
Person.
Vishanti.
Vishanti.
Enters into.
Enters into.
Tesham.
Tesham.
For them.
For them.
Shama.
Shama.
Much labor.
Much labor.
Siyat.
Siyat.
Has to be taken.
Has to be taken.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
To.
To.
But.
But.
Sevaya.
Sevaya.
By serving.
By serving.
Te.
Te.
Of you.
Of you.
Translation. Others who are pacified by means of transcendental self-realization and have conquered over the modes of nature by dint of strong power and knowledge also enter into you, but for them there is much pain, whereas a devotee simply discharges devotional service and thus feels no such pain. Purport. In terms of a labor of love and its returns, the bhaktas, or devotees of the Lord, always have priority over persons who are addicted to the association of jnanis, or impersonalists, and yogis, or mystics. The word apare, others, is very significant in this connection. Others refers to the jnanis and yogis, whose only hope is to merge into the existence of the impersonal Brahma-jyoti. Although their destination is not so important in comparison to the destination of the devotees, the labor of the non-devotees is far greater than that of the bhaktas. One may suggest that there is sufficient labor for the devotees also in the matter of discharging devotional service, but that labor is compensated by the enhancement of transcendental pleasure. The devotees derive more transcendental pleasure while engaged continuously in the service of the Lord than when they have no such engagement. In the family combination of a man and woman, there is much labor and responsibility for both of them, yet when they are single, they feel more trouble for want of their united activities. The union of the impersonalists and the union of the devotees are not on a par. The impersonalists try to fully stop their individuality by attaining sayujimukti, or unification, by merging into oneness, whereas the devotees keep their individuality to exchange feelings and relationship with the Supreme Individual Lord. Such reciprocation of feelings takes place in the transcendental Vaikuntha planets, and therefore the liberation sought by the impersonalists is already achieved in devotional service. Devotees attain mukti automatically while continuing the transcendental pleasure of maintaining individuality. As explained in the previous verse, the destination of the devotees is Vaikuntha or Akunta Dishnyam, the place where anxieties are completely eradicated. One should not mistake the destination of the devotees and that of the impersonalists to be one and the same. The destinations are distinctly different, and the transcendental pleasure derived by the devotee is also distinct from chinmatra or spiritual feelings alone. Mukam karoti vachalam bhangam langhaite grim yakipam tamaham bande sigurum tinatavinam. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshumiritam yena tasamashi. So what is the difference between the path of jnani and yoga and opposed to bhakti? Narottam Das Thakur compares jnana and yoga to drinking pots of poison, whereas bhakti is kevala anandakanda, is the path of bliss. Kapila Dev's Sankhya Yoga philosophy is taught in this third canto. So Kapila Dev, later on, we'll hear later on, this is like a brief introduction or a taste of what's yet to come. Kapila Dev, he will bring together Jnana and Yoga to properly engage them in devotional service. They can be engaged. But there was another atheistic Kapila Dev who preached impersonal Sankhya philosophy. So this verse in purport makes a comparison of the approach to self-realization of devotees and others. And Prabhupada tells us who are those others, the jnanis and the yogis. So there's two comparison in two ways, the process and the goal, or the destination. How difficult is the process for the impersonalists? And their destination is not very important either. It's a partial realization of the absolute truth. Now, there are four questions that all philosophies must answer. First of all, they discuss what is the cause of creation. Second, what is the cause of suffering? Third, what is truth? What is the concept of truth? And fourth, what is the process and the goal? How to get out of this suffering? And what is the goal? So the answers to these questions are how these two different philosophies see the relation between three things. There's a relationship in this world between Prakriti, Jiva, and Ishvara. So Prakriti means the material world, Jiva means the living beings, and Ishvara means the controller or God. So we're not going to answer too much. We're not going to discuss the cause of creation, maybe a little bit the cause of suffering, concept of truth, but mainly we'll concentrate on the process and the goal, because that's what this verse and purport are about. But we will just give a brief summary of the cause of creation and compare the atheistic Kapila Dev to the Kapila Dev Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the cause of creation, according to the atheist, is Prakriti, Maya. Prakriti causes the Purusha, or the Lord, and Prakriti, and living entity, also Jiva. So they think this cosmic manifestation is caused by an inexplicable, unmanifested void. Everything comes from nothing. The void is the cause of everything, or pradana. But this argument is meaningless. How can everything come from nothing? Have we any experience of this, that something has come from nothing in this world? No, we see that there is a cause. So according to the Kapila Dev philosophy, the cause of creation is the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord. He glances at Prakriti, feeling compassion, and then the whole cosmic manifestation is born. In his glance, there are three things, Kala, Jiva, and Karma. And when these three things go into the Prakriti, then we have the creation. So cause of suffering, according to the atheistic impersonalist philosophy, the cause of suffering is Maya. And Maya is false. So it's an illusion. Suffering is an illusion. Everything is an illusion. And that's why we suffer, because we have this illusion. Now, Kapila Dev says, yes, there is illusion, but it's not that everything is illusion. The illusion is in our mind that we are thinking that I am this body and this world is mine. This is the illusion. But actually, Prakriti is real because it's Krishna's energy. So the real cause of suffering is our misidentification. Now, the impersonalists, they feel the pain of emotions and personal relationships. And they think all this combination, this body, is the cause of suffering. And if we just dissolve the body, if we commit suicide, then we will be free. But it's not the way. It's not the way. So sometimes they think, well, this body is painful, emotions are painful. Therefore, if I just finish the body, finish the emotions, finish the thoughts, then I will be finished with suffering. But this is not the case. So the devotee, he feels the pain of identifying with the body. In Srimad Bhagavatam, yayasamohito jiva atmanam chigunapakam paropi manute nartam takakam chapipadyate. That due to this external energy, the jiva, although transcendental, identifies. He thinks he's a product of this nature, and so he suffers. Just like suppose you're driving a car, and your car, somebody hits your car, and you think, and you say, somebody hit me, because you identify with the car. And you think, oh, yes, this is, I am damaged. So our body is like that. The body is like a car, and we're the driver, as Prabhupada used to say. And when the body is damaged, we think, oh, I am damaged. But actually, that is the illusion, that I am this body. We have our spiritual identity. So that brings us to the concept of truth. We have the cause of creation, we have the cause of suffering, which is the pain of identifying with his body. The concept of truth, what is the difference? The atheist and personalist think that I am God. Jiva is equal to Ishvara. Jiva is conscious, but an active witness. And Prakriti is actually the doer. Now, Kapila Dev, in his philosophy, says the jiva is servant of Ishvara. There is a relationship. Not that jiva is Ishvara. Jiva is conscious, he's active, and jiva is the doer. And Prakriti is dead. In other words, life comes from life, according to the devotee's conception, Kapila Dev. And according to the atheist and personalist, spirit comes from matter. So that is the summary of the three of the four philosophical questions. What is the cause of creation? That is for us, of course, Lord Krishna. What is the cause of suffering? The misidentification with the body. What is the concept of truth? That we are servant of Krishna. And now the process, which is described here as very, very difficult for the jnanis. And the goal is also not very wonderful, to merge into the light. So what is the difference between the process of the impersonalists, the process of devotees? There is no mercy. Here it says in the Sanskrit, balena jitva prakritim, yoga balena, by the strength of yoga, by your own strength, balishtam, you will conquer prakriti. You will conquer this material nature. But for the devotees, we don't feel like I am going to conquer my senses and the material. That's the yogic idea. The devotee feels, oh, I am not qualified to conquer anything. Krishna can do it. I will depend on Krishna. Let me serve Krishna. And he will take care of the prakriti. And he will take care of the, as Krishna says, he promises in Bhagavad Gita, yeah, you surrender to me, I'll protect you. Don't worry. No worries, as we were saying in class yesterday. No worries. As the Australian people say, no worries, that I will protect you from all your sinful reactions. So one of my godbrothers, he was going to an interfaith meeting, and there were some impersonalist Buddhists, and everybody was chanting their different songs. And what were they chanting? Nothing is everything, and everything is nothing. Nothing is everything, and everything is nothing. You won't get very far with that. I mean, if you really believe that, what's the use of doing anything if everything is nothing? Why work? You know, it's nothing. And nothing is everything, so just be nothing. And I guess that's what they're trying to cancel out their identity, cancel out everything, and then they will be happy. This is happiness. But the devotees, they chant the beautiful Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And they meet Radha and Krishna while chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Golokir Premadan, Hare Rama Sankirtan. The Sankirtan has come from Goloka Vrindavan. It is coming from the spiritual world. But the problem is, Ratina Jamila Kenita, I have no attraction for these beautiful names of Krishna. There is another verse, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Verse 29, which gives a comparison of the process of the gyanis and yogis and the, as compared to the devotees. There it is said in the verse, the devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome hard-knotted desires for fruitive activities. So we have these hard knots of desires in our heart. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the gyanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in devotional service of Krishna, son of Vasudeva. Yeah, so the hard knot in the heart, how can we become free from this hard knot? Srimad Bhagavatam describes Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And Lord Chaitanya says Kirtaniya Sada Hari. So you always serve Bhagavatam, always chant the holy name, and the hard knot will become untied. Prabhupada says in the purport that the Lord, first he will come in your heart, he'll turn on the light, and you will see a lot of things before you see Krishna and yourself. You will see a lot of other dirty things there, and the process of cleaning, meanwhile, is going on. But then, when you become purified, Krishna, you will see Krishna, he will untie the knot in the heart, and you'll become free. So what a wonderful process we have. We have a relationship with Krishna all the way, even from the beginning. He's protecting us. It's a labor of love, Prabhupada says here. Samanda abhideya prayoja. We make our relationship with Krishna and we act in that relationship and we achieve the goal of love of Godhead. So we also say, Krishna is everything, not nothing is everything. Krishna is everything and I am his servant. So the atheistic Sankhya analyzes the elements. We'll see this later on. Kapiladeva also will analyze the elements. But when they make their analysis, they're trying to separate the soul from the prakriti. It's not this, it's not the, I am not the eyes, I'm not the nose, I'm not this, I'm not that. And then, okay, I'm separate, now I get liberation. Dissolve the body. But it's described by Kapiladeva that the devotees, by performing devotional service, they dissolve the subtle body. We don't dissolve necessarily. Of course, the ghost body will be automatically dissolved at the end. But we do dissolve the subtle body by chanting Hare Krishna. We change our subtle body. Our subtle body changes. So then, Kapiladeva also analyzes the elements, but he takes the elements in yoga and he connects them to Purusha. He connects Prakriti to Purusha. He doesn't kill Prakriti. He doesn't kill Jiva. That's as the impersonalists think, want to do. They want to kill everything and become Ishwara. But we take Prakriti, we take Jiva, and we unite them with Ishwara, with Krishna in devotional service. We see Prakriti and Jiva, they belong to Ishwara, they belong to Krishna. So they preach. People are wasting their lives thinking that they have, their relationship is with Maya, with Prakriti, but the real relationship is with Krishna. So the impersonalists, they have union with Brahman, they merge, they lose their individuality to free themselves from the fear or the pain of being a person. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of the deer and the grapes are sour, or jackal, it's the jackal. The philosophy of the grapes are sour. He's jumping and trying to get the grapes and the tree, and he keeps jumping, he can't reach them. Oh, I can't get these grapes. So then he says, anyway, they're sour. I don't need them. So the impersonalists, they cannot enjoy in this world. So they say, oh, anyway, the world's useless nonsense, and you can't enjoy here. Of course you can't enjoy. We also know you can't really enjoy without Krishna. You can enjoy. Devotees actually enjoy by offering everything to Krishna and taking Krishna's mercy, his prasadam. So there was one doctor, and the father brought the son to the doctor. He says, my son is suffering so much. He has fever, he has vomiting, he has everything is there. He's really suffering. Doctor, can you do something? So the doctor gave an injection, and the son died. And the father said, but you know what happened? He said, well, I feed him from all his pain, didn't I? So that's what the impersonalists do. They say, okay, let's just die and we'll be free from all our pain. So no, that's not the cure. Even if you commit suicide, you have to become a ghost. And those impersonalists who don't succeed, they all have a very painful next life. And even if you go to the Brahman, it's not very much fun. There's nobody there. There's nothing happening. Just imagine if you were just to go up and stay in the sky for a while, all by yourself. No airplane, no food seva, no food service, nothing there. Just you up in the sky. How long are you going to last up there? It's not the nature of the soul. It's against our nature. The soul is active. The soul has desires. And your desires will bring you back down to earth to try to enjoy. So sometimes we wonder, well, why does Krishna allow these people to merge? Why does he give them that option? And Prabhupada gave a very interesting answer to that question. He said, sometimes a child is naughty. He creates a disturbance, so the parents say, okay, go sit in the corner. Don't do mischief. So the demons go to the Brahmajyoti because they create mischief. They go to the spiritual sky, they'll create mischief. He says, okay, go sit in the Brahmajyoti. Don't do nonsense. Sit there for a while and just be quiet. And don't disturb others. So this is a very difficult and not very satisfying process to be an impersonalist. So therefore we want to follow the process of bhakti yoga. We keep our individuality. As Prabhupada says, the devotees keep their individuality to exchange feelings in relationship with the Supreme. So he says also, previous verse, our goal is Vaikuntha, the place where anxieties are completely eradicated. The problem with the impersonalists, they don't know about the spiritual world. They don't have this knowledge. They think the light is everything. But the devotees, they ask an intelligent question. Well, where is the light coming from? Like we have light in this room. Now, the light bulbs, they're giving the light, but there is a source. And the intelligent person will say, well, what's the source of this light? And we know it's not simply the light bulbs. The light that we see in this room is just from the light bulb. There's also a source, which is outside of this room. The electricity. So similarly, when we see the light in the sky, we know the source is the sun. And when we see the Brahman, then the intelligent person will say, well, where's it coming from? What's the source of this light? And so the devotees, they're not satisfied with just the light. They want to penetrate the light and go to Krishna. And then they will be actually happy. So in that verse about the kinds of gyanis and yogis, they're trying to conquer the waves. Here it says, balena, balishtam. They're trying to conquer jitva prakritim. The gyanis, there's three types mentioned. The gyanis, the yogis, and the bhaktas in this verse. So all of them are trying to overcome the influence of the senses. The senses are compared to the waves of a river. Now the waves of the river are always flowing, constantly. All these desires are always coming, and it's very difficult to stop them. So the waves of desire for material enjoyment are so strong, nobody can stop them except the devotees. The devotees, they do service, they become so overwhelmed with bliss that automatically their desires for material enjoyment stop. Now the gyanis and yogis simply struggle. It's a hard struggle against these waves of desires. So although they try to be free, they become more and more entangled actually in false philosophical speculation. So to try to stop the desires is impossible. One has to desire Krishna, and then we won't be entangled. I think the next verse will express that, the desire of the demigods. Oh, original person, we are therefore but yours only. We belong to you, Krishna. I am yours. So this way you can stop this. The gyanis and yogis, they have lust, they have kama, because they want something. The gyanis want to merge, they want to become God, and the yogis want mystic powers. Only the devotees, They want to please Krishna, so they are free from desires. Now, the analogy of the river is given, how the waves of the river are always flowing and cannot be stopped, but they flow towards the sea. So, I used to live for 5 years in India, where a river was meeting the ocean in Goa. And we used to, because in the rainy season, the ocean was wild. We couldn't swim in the ocean. So we would swim in the river where it was going into the ocean. Now, one very interesting thing we found when we were swimming in the river, was sweet water flowing to the ocean. But when the tide came in, the ocean overflowed into the river and the river started flowing upstream and it became salty. So the ocean actually overwhelmed the waves of the river, became overwhelmed. So Prabhupada says that similarly, a devotee with intelligence plans so many things for the service of the Lord, and in Krishna consciousness, that these material desires, they become stagnant material desires coming from the river. They're overwhelmed by the desires to serve Krishna. And we have a current of newer and newer desires flowing to serve Krishna. So this is the conclusion, that we can overcome the powerful material nature, which is very difficult to overcome. Daivi Prakriti, this Daiva Prakriti, it's described in Bhagavad Gita, is very difficult to overcome, but the devotees who surrender to Krishna can overcome it, because it's his Prakriti. Just like a child, when he's a child, he plays with a toy car, a toy train, a toy boat, toy dolls. When they grow up, then they don't care for these toys anymore. So in the material world, everyone's playing with toys. Toy computer, toy phone, toy car. But when you grow up, then you realize, oh, I don't need to enjoy these things anymore. I will, as devotees, then we will give them to Krishna. So Krishna is attracting us by his beauty, by his qualities. And that's the only way we can give up anything in this world. And that's how we became devotees. And we were on Harinam 10 hours a day, so we could forget everything else, even our bodies. We forgot pretty much. And we were just always chanting and dancing. And So these qualities, the Harinam is so attractive. The books, Prabhupada's books, are so attractive. If you have a question, you open the book and you see the answer. And these pictures are so attractive of Krishna. These are windows to the spiritual world. You can see Krishna playing his flute, and there's cows and cowherd boys, or Radha and Krishna sitting on their throne. And the deities are so beautiful. And we were missing Lord Jagannath from 1 week, and now we can feast our eyes on his beauty and his attractiveness. Srila Prabhupada, he was also very amazing. And just by his glance, he could change somebody from a non-devotee into a devotee. There was one boxer who was coming to the temple in Europe, and the devotee said, "Why don't you just join and stay with us?" He said, no, I'm too attached to my boxing. I must fight boxing." So time came, Prabhupada came to the temple. He also visited, and Prabhupada came. And when Prabhupada was leaving, Prabhupada got into his car, and this boxer was pushed by the crowd of devotees, and his face was pressed against the window of Prabhupada's car, where Prabhupada was sitting. And Prabhupada looked at him for a few minutes, and that was it. He said, "I'm joining the temple." They said, "Well, what about your boxing?" He said, "After a glance like that from Prabhupada, how can I go back to my boxing?" So these things are so powerful, attractive. The impersonalists, they don't have this. They do, actually. Some of them worship deities. Some of them, they also chant Hare Krishna, but their idea is to use it to get to the light. And once they get to the light, then no more chanting, no more deities, it's finished. They are using Krishna to fulfill their desires. So now we're fortunate. We have the glance of the deities. We have Harinam. We have so many things, so we can take advantage of these things and share them with others. So what we will stop now. If you have any questions, you can ask these questions. Yes.
In the Bird Book, Prabhupada mentions others.
Others, yes.
He talks about that in well, there's another place that I know. He mentions the yogis and the gyanis.
Right.
And he says that they're almost transcendentalists in the sense
yes.
that they renounce material pursuits.
Right. Right.
So so we can recognize they have some qualification, shall we say,
right.
as not materialists.
Yes, in one sense, the impersonalists are on a higher level than the materialists.
Yep.
In one sense.
Yes, in one sense. But we are warned not to associate with such people.
Yes.
Yet, from one perspective, in our cultivating others, they're, because of that, attraction of something spiritual and wanting to avoid the material,
right.
they fall into the category, or they may, they're kind of like a potential audience
right.
for us.
Right.
You know, so we can go and do kirtans
right.
with these people.
Right.
So how do we, in that particular case, how can we reconcile the potential dilemma of not associating with the impersonalists, because
mm-hmm.
we're warned, you know.
We're warned not to associate
not
with
the
impersonalists.
Yet, for the sake of cultivation and for the
right.
sake of preaching,
right.
we might take that risk. Now, is that risk justifiable? And if so, then how would we avoid the potential contamination or the risk of...
How do we avoid the potential risk of falling down by associating with the impersonalist yogis and
yeah,
gyanis?
You know, there are devotees who it's their preaching strategy.
Yes, actually. They're preaching.
And they can be criticized.
Right,
that.
They could be criticized. Okay. So how do we reconcile not associating at the same time associating? Because when we say not to associate, it means not to take their philosophy as our philosophy, not to preach impersonalism. We should not take their philosophy and say, oh, this is great. But we can see the good part. Of course, we can take the good out of everything. And we see that, oh, yes, okay, you have a desire to advance spiritually and you want to go to a higher spiritual level. So this is wonderful. So this will make your meditation easier. We give them pictures, we give them the holy name, we give them prasadam. And in that way, we associate to give them something, not to take from them their philosophy. And the impersonalists, and now here it's quite different from the hardcore impersonalists of India who have this huge Mayavadi philosophy. Of course, they have their impersonalist philosophy too. But they don't really know exactly what is hardcore Mayavadi or impersonalist philosophy. They just have some kind of feeling that this is okay. So they will be open to having a better way to do meditation or better things to meditate on. This will help you a lot in your controlling your senses by you meditating on this sound vibration of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and... Also, you know, sometimes they meditate on a candle. You say, oh, you meditate on Krishna. It's much easier than meditating on a candle. Because we have form. And if we meditate on personality, it's much easier. So in this way, we engage their proclivity to meditate, their proclivity to do austerities, to control their senses, but we don't take their philosophy. It's the same with the materialistic people. We don't take their philosophy as the all-in-all, although there is some use. Even Prabhupada admits that in Bhagavad Gita, that there is some use to take up even the karmi and yogic path until you meet devotees. There is some use for you to renounce a little bit. Don't be so heavily entangled in the material world. There is a little bit of usefulness there, but once you meet the devotees, then it's useless. Then it has it's not very useful. It's useful to be renounced, but once you meet the devotees, you have to renounce your desire to be renounced. and to enjoy both of this, bhoga and tyaga, both the ideas keep us in this world. As Prabhupada said, you know, the karmis, they want to be president of a state or a country, but the gyanis and yogis, they want to be Ishwar of the whole universe, or the whole creation. It's a much more expanded view of controllership than the materialistic people have. They have a huge ego, and that's why it's the most difficult. It's more difficult, because at least the karmis, the ones who worship demigod, they have a conception of form and personality. So we can easily show them, well, here's a better person to serve than other people in this world, and you will get spiritual fruits. But the impersonalists, it's more difficult because they want to reject the concept of form. And so the way to reach them is of course by prasadam. That's the first thing, and prasadam changes everyone. Karmis, gyanis, yogis, everyone is changed by eating Krishna prasadam. And most of them don't even know philosophy. They're just there for health and doing yoga for health and so they can be healthier and enjoy more in the material world. They don't care about merging so much. They would rather be healthy to enjoy. They don't so much follow the impersonalist idea of renouncing. I think most of the people in the yogic group, I wouldn't fall into the category of renunciation. You might find a few. And then those people we can also cultivate. So whatever they have, we cultivate that desire. It's all there in Krishna. Even the light's there in Krishna. Okay, if they want the light, then it's Krishna's light. You can go to the light, and if you want to go more, go further, then you can reach Krishna. It's very interesting. I have one doctor who's a non-devotee, and she follows Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, and she showed me a book where they were categorizing all the different groups on the terms of their spiritual elevation, and Krishna consciousness was on the bottom. And Buddhism was on the top, impersonalist, you know. And I told her, I said, well, that's very interesting. That depends how you look at it. And what is your goal? If your goal is the Brahman, then of course you will think that this is the highest. But if your goal is, so yes, we also accept Brahman is a goal. It's a partial realization of the Supreme Whole. But if you want complete realization, then you must follow Krishna consciousness. We will put Krishna consciousness on the top and that on the bottom. You know, it's how you look at it. Yes.
Forgive me for interrupting. They classify us as eternalists.
Yes, us means?
As eternalists.
Eternalists. Yes. That's a good name. Yes. We're all eternal. Everybody's eternalist. The problem is, we've forgotten that we're eternal. So, there's a lot of garbage on top of that eternal person. So by chanting Hare Krishna, remove the garbage. It's nice to clean out, right? Yes?
Arguing or trying to intellectually defeat.
Oh, intellectual interface. Ooh, that's hard.
It's a bit of a waste of time.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
generally.
We have to defeat them with
prasad.
Kirtan.
Kirtan prasad, yeah. It's the only way.
Friendship.
As Prabhupada says...
Personalism.
Yeah, that's it.
Personalism, not as a philosophy.
No.
But personalism as a practice. And that's probably more potent.
It's much more potent.
They go together, but... when you... It becomes an ego thing when you get into...
Yeah. If you get into philosophy, it won't work. Because they will never accept the philosophy. But prasadam? Yes.
Freedom of the glory.
Because, they can't... what do they have, if they're hardcore? Like I think it was Giriraj Swami at the Kumbh Mela in India was discussing with one impersonalist. And so he was saying, it's all one. This, and so Maharaj took a string out from the impersonalist blanket. This string is the same as your blanket, right? Yes, it's all one. He said, okay, give me the blanket, I'll give you the string. And let's see how if you can practice this philosophy in the freezing cold of Allahabad. Mm-hmm. 1 hour later, he came back. He said, you have defeated me. The blanket is not the same as the string. So Giriraj Maharaj said, okay, you must go to my spiritual master Prabhupada and offer obeisances to him and say that I am defeated. So he was a genuine impersonalist that he accepted defeat, But that's the way. It's not by philosophy. It's by application. Yes?
Mother, while having conversations with this impersonalist, sometimes they, blaspheme.
Yeah, that's why we don't...
Yeah, so we feel offended that we should not hear Vaishnava insult or Krishna's insult.
No. No, you shouldn't tolerate. It is an offense to the holy name to preach to the faithless. So if you try to preach to an impersonalist, you may get into offenses to the holy name. So better you just give prasadam. Like yesterday I was talking in the class how to preach to the... some of my friends were preaching to atheistic people. I gave the example of book distribution, how my god sister was preaching to one man who was trying to stop the devotees. Every time her girls were distributing books, he would come and he would say, don't take this book, these people are a sect, they're horrible. So then my friend, she went and the man came to her and she said to the person she was preaching to, today we're doing reverse psychology. This is my Uncle Kamsa. Whatever he says, you should do the opposite. People were buying books. So after a few hours, the guy kind of felt part of the family. Uncle Kamsa, I'm Uncle Kamsa. And he kind of melted and he took a book too. So we have to defeat them in different ways. By sweetness of personality, they cannot, their heart will be melted when we give them prasadam, when we take personal care of them, when we show them the love that Krishna is showing us. Yes?
Well, like Rupa Goswami said, always remember Krishna, never forget him.
Mm-hmm.
How always remember Krishna?
How to always remember Krishna? According to Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita, chanting Hare Krishna will help you always remember Krishna. If you read Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, 17 times in the purport, Prabhupada mentions the holy name. It's the full mantra or just chant Hare Krishna. Chanting means remembering. By kirtanam will come smaranam. By chanting.
Any other means?
Any other means in this age of Kali? No. Harinam. Harinam eva kevalam. Kalo nasteva. No other means in this age of Kali. Of course, they say writing means remembering. Also, you can write down about pastimes, about prayers, write prayers, glorification. Writing means remembering also. But in this age of Kali, it's only chanting.
Always thanking him for everything.
Always chanting Hare Krishna. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Then you'll remember. Yeah, somehow we have to... Yeah, Lord Chaitanya, he couldn't... He also... Of course, he could defeat the impersonalists, and he did. But how did he defeat them first? Did he first discuss philosophy with the impersonalists? What did he do first? What did Lord Chaitanya do first when he met the impersonalists? Yeah, that was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He just listened. We don't recommend that process. But with all those sannyasis in the, what did he do?
He took the humble position.
He took the humble position. He sat where you wash your feet. He sat in the place where you wash your feet. And not, but not only that, he showed his effulgence at the same time. So he was humble, but he also, you know, showed them that, you know, I'm God. Like, what you want, I have. So because he took the humble position, he gave them a chance to perform Agata Sukriti. They came, they took his hand and said, "Don't, please don't sit here. You are so beautiful. You are so looking so wonderful. Sit with us." So, and they were upset because he wasn't associating with them. So first thing he did was get their attention. He got their attention. Book distributors, they get the attention of the people before they give them the book. So before they preach their impersonalist philosophy, I think you should have prasad before the beginning of the program of the interfaith impersonalist. And that will help a lot. Just tell them our process, our tradition is to eat before we meet. Eat before meeting. Eat before we meet. So they'll have to honor our tradition, you know. Feed them prasadam, and that'll help, you know, loosen their grip on their philosophy. Yes. Why could devotees cut their hair? Well, Srila Prabhupada said it. It shows that we are Brahmanas, also Vaishnavas. It's a sign of a Vaishnava to have the sika. It's the sign. And when it's the time of death and Krishna is coming to take you back, he'll take you by the sika. So it's good to have one. yeah. 4 points.
So the last one, the purpose, the process, and the...
What is the process and the goal?
So in case of the Maya bodies, you say that they merge into the effulgence, or that's their destination.
Right.
So you also say that they fall down after some time.
Right.
The soul has a tendency to be active or not be active.
Exactly. I mean, their goal is Brahman, but it's a temporary goal. The problem is that even according to, there's prayers to the holy name by Sri Rupa Goswami, and he says when they merge, they keep their materialistic desires. That's one point. Srimad Bhagavatam says another point, why they fall down, because they're offenders to the lotus feet of Krishna. So even though they may merge, they may experience what it means to be eternal, but they experience, they get a taste of eternality. But it's not real eternality because the soul has desires, and in the case of the impersonalists, they are offenders. They have made some offense that goes with them to the Brahman. It's not, they're not freed of all their karma. They're not freed completely. It's a temporary state. According to Bhagavatam, this is 10th canto, chapter 2, where it says they fly very high, but then because of their impure intelligence, they must come back down. So even though they may make it to the Brahmajyoti, the demons also go there, the enemies of Krishna. So you can see what kind of people go there. How can the enemies of Krishna go there? Because they have impure intelligence, so they must fall down. Bhagavatam says, 10.2, I don't remember the exact verse. But it's temporary. It's not the eternal nature of the soul, Jivai Sarupoi Krishna Nityadas. The eternal nature of the soul is to be Krishna Nityadas. So because they have not achieved the final destination, it's just on the way. To go to the Brahman is, it's on the way. It's not the final stop on the train. It's temporary. So it's temporary. What can you do? It's kind of eternal. It may be for, you know, a few creation cycles, or maybe less. But they are offenders. So therefore they must fall down. That goes with them to the Brahman. You see, in Rupa Goswami's prayer, he says they keep their karma. It's not completely finished. You can go to the Brahman without finishing your complete karma. So they keep this offensive mentality. And in the soul, nature is anandamaya vyasat. Nature of the soul is to enjoy. So therefore they can't be happy there because they can't enjoy. I mean, some enjoyment is there, but compared to Sevananda, there's Brahmananda and Sevananda. Sevananda is millions, not even one drop of Brahmananda can compare to Sevananda. So they're missing that. The soul is missing the relationship with Krishna. He's missing this Sevananda. That's his nature. Well, he must come back down. Unless the Brahman realized soul, he can associate with devotees, as in the case of Shukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras. They did associate and they got purified and became devotees. There are cases. But they weren't simply in the Brahman, they were also here in this world. So they got the chance. Isn't that interesting? You can be in Brahman and here at the same time. So some people have that liberation, Jivan Mukta. The four Kumaras had it, Shukadeva Goswami had it. And so they could advance even from the Brahman stage to bhakti. But if you're simply in the Brahman and you don't have a form, then it would be very difficult to advance. But the desires are there, so you'll come back down. Desires are still there. Yes?
So there are elements of bhakti in other traditions like Christianity.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
Yes.
Completely. There are elements.
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
I was also worshipping Jesus. What will be the destination
of those who practice bhakti toward Jesus?
Yeah. Well, you can see that amongst the Christians there are those who are serious. Not many, but there are those who are serious, and they will also appreciate Krishna consciousness. Mother Teresa, she was very serious. Practitioner. She was actually trying to practice and live the ideals that she thought that Jesus was giving. And it was very interesting that after she left her body in India, Newsweek published a confidential diary that she kept, part of it. And it showed where she had doubts. She was talking to her mentor and saying, "Well, I'm not sure, you know, maybe Jesus, he's not, you know." And what I understood when they were saying, "Oh, just see, she's not a pure devotee," or they, you know, people think. And I said, "Come on, she's just on the path, and this is an Artana Vritti here, but she's going through these levels, and I'm sure she went beyond it after, you know, she was going through it. Like we all the serious people on the path, they go through the same path actually, of bhakti." And his prayers, her prayers are amazing. Amazing prayers. Same. So Vandanam is there. Kirtanam is there. They sing. I remember when I was a child, we were doing Harinam. We were doing Christmas carols on the streets. It's like Harinam. Only once, you know, once a year. We were singing these carols of Jesus on the street. And I really liked that. And that's why I liked Harinam. Because same idea. So those who are pure Christians, they will go to Jesus' planet, wherever it may be. Prabhupada did say that. And there are higher planets in this universe. But most of them have, most Christians want to go to heaven, which is Swarga, Swargaloka, and enjoy. But unfortunately, they don't have the pass the visa to go to Swarga. You have to follow the four negative principles and so many things. But yes, they will. Those who are sincere, they will get a high birth in their next life in the devotee family, or they will go to Jesus, wherever he may be. Jesus is a pure devotee somewhere in this universe. He's also a pure devotee. And Prabhupada, he loved Jesus. You know, whenever he met a Christian, there was one nun he met, and she was a pure follower. And she was very listening about the philosophy, about the soul, and she was enjoying her conversation with Prabhupada. And at the end, Prabhupada saw her chanting beads, and he said, "What are you chanting?" She said, "I'm chanting, may Lord Jesus be merciful to me." Prabhupada said, "Yes, Jesus will be merciful to you." So he gave her blessings. He gave her blessings, yes. So the pure ones, they will actually, those who are following, and as Prabhupada said, the vegetarian, you know, don't eat meat. There are vegetarian Christians also. And so they will, those who are following the rules, they will go to Jesus. Or they may be born into a devotee family. And there are many, you know, some of our devotees, I know there was one of our Guru Kulis who did last life progression. He was a Christian priest, Christian minister. He became born in a devotee family. And so this is, they may be born in ISKCON, next life. Or they may.
So you mean the pure ones, they will go to the Jesus planet?
They can go. Yeah, it can be in this material world where he's preaching, or it can be, depending on how high they've gone. If they need a little bit more, then they have to be born in this world and continue their devotional service.
Yeah,
of course. That's right. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It can be here. It can be there.
Yeah.
It's like Jivanmukta. Because Christ, his mission was to preach. Prabhupada's mission is to preach. And so we may go to Prabhupada, and he may be somewhere in this material world preaching. Or we may go back to Godhead, and at the same time be with Prabhupada. So many possibilities. Prabhupada said, just go back to Godhead. Don't worry about coming back here. So that's our goal. But our goal is actually love of God, which can be here or there. We can have love of God here, we can have it there. Once you have love of God, it doesn't matter where you are. You can be here or there. As Prabhupada, one time at Chuttananda, asked Prabhupada, should we desire to stay here life after life and preach, or should we desire to go back to Godhead? So Prabhupada said, the book distributors, they're already back to Godhead. That's what he said. Because they are with Krishna. Krishna is talking to them. So if you're out there trying to reach the conditioned souls, then oftentimes you connect with Super Soul. If you're chanting the holy name, Harinam, you connect with Super Soul. You connect with Krishna, definitely. And you connect others. Okay, we're a bit over time, so I think we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Agarista Shri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.